This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Billy Stats here with Fox Sports Knoxville, and I'm here to tell you DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN when you sign up to turn $1 into $150 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win the next game, and if they do, you will claim $150 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive here on Fan Run Radio, 302 on your Friday. Russell Smith punching the time clock. Good to be with you. Hope you're doing well. Thanks for tuning into the show this afternoon. Jake Miller in studio with me this afternoon. Much, much cooler than it was 24 hours ago when we were sitting in here. I don't know about you, Jake, but I remember the thoughts that were running through my head the first segment of the show. I was like, oh, man, this is a bad idea. I should have stayed home. I should have just said.
You guys going to continue to whine about this.
Oh, stop.
I had my shirt off. He had his pants off.
Yeah, it was rough, man.
Get down and get funky.
It was rough, but all systems are go thanks to the good folks at Blue Water Climate Control. Got us fixed up and taken care of.
Clutch.
Coming through in the clutch, no doubt about it. Ready for a big weekend. Last semi-footballless weekend for a long, long time. Tennessee football practice starts Wednesday next week, so we'll have practice reports to tide us through. The build-up begins. I mean, this is it. It's an exciting weekend here. We turn the page in the calendar from July to August, and the build-up begins in earnest, man. I think that there's some excitement finally starting to build amongst Tennessee fans, amongst college football fans in general. I mean, this whole Texas-Oklahoma thing has been a nice distraction. We're going to continue to unpack that. It's official now. They accepted the invitation. I don't know. There have been so many little steps forward since the news broke that, you know, we have to, they are getting out of their grant of rights, and then the SEC is going to send an invitation. They're going to accept the invitation. It's like some sort of Jane Austen romance thing where you have to, a courtship, you know, it takes all these official turns and everything. It's just like, all right, man, just go ahead and jump in bed together. We know what you want to do. We know what you want to do, Texas and Oklahoma. You know you want it.
They proved that.
So anyway, we'll get back to that. More football stuff coming up here as we move through the afternoon. We will start, though, in the world of basketball, where it was a great night for Tennessee basketball and a pair of former Vols. The second time in 3 years that multiple Tennessee Volunteers heard their names called during the NBA draft, as both Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer were selected in the first round last night. A total of 5 Vols have been picked over the last 3 NBA drafts. I mean, this cannot be understated. This is huge for Tennessee, right? I mean, Rick Barnes and his assistants will be out there beating their chest this week. I know they're at the NBA Players Combine or whatever down is right in Orlando this week, or maybe next week. I don't know. This is huge, right? Because, I mean, for years, that was the knock. That was why a 5-star prospect would go to Kentucky or Duke or Kansas and not Tennessee, is because those are the schools that are putting guys in the league.
Right. And my question I had for you is, did any others, like how many other schools had 2 players in the first round?
One school.
Yeah, it was just Gonzaga, right?
Yeah, we were the only
us and Gonzaga.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, it's just absolutely massive. And what I think I said it the other day, what really gets me about it, fellas, is it's like the exact 180 opposite of what the football program's been doing. And yep, it's one of the things that's holding us back. And I think this just really adds a whole nother level of momentum and a card that they can play out on the recruiting trail.
Well, and already we're going to see some impact here, I think, because Cason Wallace, the five-star guard from Texas, who is thought to be a heavy Tennessee lean, got his Kentucky offer last week and immediately set up a visit to Lexington. And I think he might be there right now or this weekend. Like he set it up really quickly. And we'll see. I mean, that's obviously Kentucky's still Kentucky. They're going to be hard to beat. But if you're Tennessee, and I understand Rod Clark has a really good longstanding relationship with Wallace and his family, he can call him up today or whenever he gets back from that Kentucky visit and say, look, I know you probably enjoyed your time out there. I know you're probably dazzled by all the guys that they've put in the league, particularly lately in the Cal era. But look at what we've done. Five guys in the last 3 years, one of only two schools with multiple guys in the first round this year. We've got another star-studded class already on campus, even without you. There's no reason. You can't say Kentucky can pitch tradition. They can pitch development. They can pitch all the things they can pitch. But they cannot say to you with a straight face that you have a better chance of going to the NBA if you come here than if you go to Tennessee. They can't do that.
No.
So that's
and they also huge. Can't tell them that they I mean there's better parts to come in and fit in with here. We've got we'll surround you with a much better cast of characters than Kentucky can. I mean pretty much everybody.
Yeah, it's debatable.
I mean, tell me out of the eventual starting five, all the kids you know next year with BJ Edwards. I mean, everybody that's going to start on the floor is potential first-round draft picks. How much does this up the pressure on Barnes to go deeper in the tournament than he's been going lately?
I don't know. I mean, that pressure has been there and will continue to be there, and it is what it is. But, yeah, I mean, I think that, look, you know, Kentucky is still going to be they've got – They're loaded too. I was looking at some projections last night, as a matter of fact, and the Athletic had them picked ahead of Tennessee. They had them picked to win the best team in the league coming into next year, and us as number two. I think Arkansas three, and then Mississippi State four. So they've got a good team coming back. But I mean, it's close. Like it's debatable, and obviously it's going to play out here over the next couple of months, but. Exciting times, obviously, for Tennessee basketball. And another interesting facet to all this is there's actually some talk out there that this is a little bit disappointing that Keon and Jaden went lower than they – I mean, that's where we are, where it's not just can you get in the first round. Remember a couple of years ago it was, is Grant going to get drafted in the first round? Now it's just a matter of are you going to be a lottery pick or not? How high are you going to go?
But you got to think too, though, because
he's built an absolute potential monster program. All that's left now is to, you know, see it on the floor. And could you imagine what would happen if he broke through and made it to a Final Four?
Yeah, I mean, it would.
And we could be setting up for a run, buddy.
I mean, I think we are. I think that from a talent perspective, the program is probably at an all-time high. And it's not showing any signs of slowing down. So, very excited. Keon becomes the first – he's the first vault off the board, highest-drafted Tennessee player since 2011. And he's taken by the Knicks. They trade him to the Clippers, 21st overall. Seven picks later, Springer goes to the 76ers with the 28th overall pick. And pretty fantastic evening. I hope both of those guys are over the moon. I'm sure Keon, this time maybe 2 months ago, thought he might go a little bit higher. Maybe Jaden did as well. But they're both first-round draft picks, guaranteed NBA contracts, instant millionaires.
On well-established teams. Keep that in mind, too.
Yeah.
They did both land at actually pretty good spots to – give them a you know, a solid chance at making it past that 2 years they got.
Eve Pons, meanwhile, goes undrafted, a mild disappointment, but not a huge surprise there. He ends up signing with the Memphis Grizzlies and will be playing in summer league for them and will have a shot to make the Grizz. So what a cool story that would be if Eve Pons gets to continue to play within the confines of the Volunteer State. A lot of people obviously pulling for him.
Unless he goes to the Memphis Hustle.
What's that?
That's their G League team that's in South Haven, Mississippi.
Oof.
And they're just kind of like the AAA team. They're like the Gwinnett Braves, the team that you dip into if you need a player here or there.
Yeah, that's where they pull the 10-day contract.
So what's the base salary for one of the G League guys? For someone like Pons, like how much would he make if he gets?
I think he's like $50,000, something like that.
It's not much.
I just wonder, man. He's
more than we make, but
living in New Haven, Mississippi, making $50,000 a year, or I can go home to France, where my mom and dad live, and I could easily become a millionaire just playing for France.
Yeah, maybe, but.
That's just what I think. That's what I do.
Well, somebody who's close to the program was explaining to me earlier today, and I hadn't thought about it from this perspective, but it makes a lot of sense. Eve Pond's a really smart guy. He's got a lot going for him outside of basketball. He's like a male model. He plays the saxophone. He's, you know, a man of the world. He's an interesting dude, right?
That dude can cook, apparently.
He can cook. He's just got a –
he's
really,
a renaissance man.
He's really intelligent, okay? So – and apparently people close to him say he wants to chase the NBA dream, and he's going to give this a shot. So he's not a guy that necessarily needs basketball. You see some of these guys come out, and it's been – the NBA's been their dream since they were 6 years old, and maybe they don't really – do the school thing as hard as other guys do and everything. And they get out and they need basketball. And so, yeah, they don't make the NBA. They make the hard choice. Okay, I'm going to go to Europe and I'm just going to try and make as much money as I can for as long as I can play. And they globetrot for 12 years or so. And you can make good money doing that. You can make six figures doing that. And if you save and invest well, then you can be set up pretty good coming out of that. I don't know that Pons needs that. I mean, he could chase the NBA thing here for a couple of years and then get into something else and make a lot of money in business because he's a bright kid. So that's the world is his, that guy. So he's going to be okay. Yeah. People worrying about, oh, Pons, man, I hope he makes the NBA. I hope he gets in a good, he's going to be fine.
He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah. So no worrying about Eve Pons out there. Fantastic night for Tennessee basketball last night. All right, we got a big one lined up for you this afternoon. Trey Wallace is going to join the show here in about 5 minutes. We'll talk some Tennessee football with him as the Vols get set to open fall camp on Wednesday. All eyes will be on the quarterback position. What do you make of Harrison Bailey last night? Some Instagram posts going around. Apparently he took
Harold Barrel.
What?
The Harrell Barrel. What's he been up to? He took his lineman out, didn't he?
We'll workshop that one. He took the offensive line out to the Longhorn Steakhouse.
That's good eating, man.
That's good eating.
Last time I ate dinner in a restaurant, it was right before the pandemic came down. Myself, the dude.
You haven't been in a restaurant since before the pandemic started?
No, I've been getting care of. Dude, I don't know if you know this, Russ, but I had lung cancer.
Yeah, I know. I'm just.
I wasn't going anywhere near. I don't go anywhere near anywhere right now. But the last meal I had was at Longhorn, and I can tell you.
What'd you get?
That's a hell of a dinner to be taken out on.
They do a good steak.
Yeah.
I was looking at one of the message boards last night where they were talking about this. And all the message board guys, all your friends at Volnugs, coming out of the woodwork, trying to act like high rollers, like hating on Longhorn. Like, oh, man, doesn't he know there's Ruth's Chris here? Doesn't he know about the old steakhouse and all this? It's like, dude, shut up, man. I would love to have a sizzling ribeye hot off the grill from Longhorn Steakhouse right now with some nice asparagus on the side.
What is that?
people acting like they're too good for Longhorn Steakhouse. That's anyway. Do we read anything into it? I mean, that's
he just building building his relationship. I guess.
I mean, a lot of people are thinking, "Hey, you wouldn't do that if he's not the starter, right?" That starter stuff. You want to take the – can you imagine what that bill must have looked like? You take five offensive linemen and yourself out to eat. That's what, at least six steaks, maybe a couple of appies? I mean, that's well over $100, probably over $200 or $300, right?
More than that.
At Longhorn?
Oh, that,
maybe not
easily,
at Longhorn. I'm thinking of Connors.
That's usually a $400 to $500 meal.
I'm thinking of Connors.
That's a lot of money for
even,
a college student.
No, even at Longhorn. Because what I was saying, I went with Cody and Duke of Granger. And we ate like kings, and I mean, it's worth every dollar you pay for it, but my tab was like $60-$70 just for me.
Did Big Mac pick up the tab?
Actually, they did, because it was my birthday dinner.
Oh.
Mine and the Duke, Code paid for both me and Brandon. Cody took us out for steak dinner. Told us to do it up, but yeah, I guarantee you, that was probably every bit of 500.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, what do you guys read into it? I mean, that is a starter move, isn't it, boys?
It's a big baller move.
It's like, take care of me, I'll take care of you.
Yeah.
Well, it's also sending a subtle message to the offensive line. It's like, yeah, like you said, Jake, hey guys, you know, lean into it when I'm back there for fall camp. Give me a little time here. I got to win this job.
Well, not only that, when you get into the, especially the SEC portion of the season, if somebody decides, if Harrison ends up being the starter, and let's say, you know, some bulldog decides he wants to give him a little bit of extra whatnot, I expect the linemen to, you know, put their helmet in the middle of somebody's chest.
Yeah. Good team building exercise. And
Got to protect your quarterback.
And that the knock on Harrison Bailey from both staffs, both, you know, the Pruitt staff and this new staff, is that he's a little quiet, a little reticent, a little shy. And, you know, you want QB1 to be an alpha. You want him to be the guy who barks out the orders. And when he talks, everybody listens. And that's not necessarily his personality. Can that be learned? I think that's something you're born with. I think it can be learned to an extent. Can he learn it well enough to fend off Joe Milton, who by all accounts is a natural born alpha? We'll find
out. It's going to be tough, man.
Yeah. It's going to be a great storyline to follow here over the next 4 weeks.
Are you pretty comfortable with that we have enough decent quarterbacks to have a proper quarterback battle in camp?
No. I mean, if you're just asking me point blank, am I comfortable? No, man. If we had one, we wouldn't have had this conversation. Like when you had Dobbs, we weren't sitting there talking. If you're talking about a quarterback battle going into fall camp, it's
not. You don't
have
a quarterback.
Yeah, it's – and that doesn't mean one of these
–
it doesn't mean one of them can't emerge, because we're all starting with clean slates here. But I wouldn't describe myself as comfortable. I would describe myself as hopeful that one of those guys can do well with better coaching than we've had the previous three seasons.
Yeah, I guess it's the one that picks up Heupel's offense the quickest, too. You know, how much of the playbook, if you've got, let's say, Milton, and he's, you know, 75% ready to run any of the plays in the playbook, and so you got Bailey, he's lagging a little bit at you know, 50 or 60%, and you're probably going to go with Milton.
We're going to break it down here with Trey Wallace coming up next when we continue. Stay right there, just scratching the surface of another stellar edition, The Drive, right here on Fan Run Radio. Back with more after this.
The Drive.
Hey, it's would understand.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Oh, man. He celebrates their entire catalog. Known, who is that? Three Doors Down. What's the
Third Eye Blind.
I knew there was a three in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Trey Wallace, Rocky Top Insider. Good afternoon. How are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm just enjoying the new song the Third Eye Blind put out today.
Oh, God.
Did they really put out a new jam?
Yeah, they put out a new jam today. It's called Box of Bones. Yeah.
Yeah. It's cool that they're still out there doing the thing.
Put that on the playlist for the ride home.
Still out there rocking and rolling. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. I'm good. It's a good day. It's, you know, trying to get as much rest as I can and kind of relaxation before things kick off next week on Tuesday. And I can't believe we're already here. It's like we went like straight from Omaha to media days to Oklahoma, Texas, and now we're starting the football season. It's all just tangled into one.
All right, so help me set up next week. Tuesday is media day. Is that where they all, you know, the team picture and everything inside Neyland?
Well, yes. And then they'll also, we'll meet with Josh Heupel at noon. I think we meet with Alex Golish right after that. And then we'll meet with Tim Banks, coordinator, as well, along with players. So we meet with both coordinators, head coach, and players next Tuesday. And then that'll kick it off. And then Wednesday, they start practice at 9 o'clock that morning.
Do you think they're going to open up practice a little more, or do you think the emergence of the Delta variant and all the consternation that goes along with that will cause them to be more restrictive again with practice access for the media?
No, I've been told they're going to open it up a little bit. You're definitely going to get more periods than what you got with Jeremy Pruitt.
Let me ask you something real quick about that, Trey.
Yeah.
Do you think we'll ever get to the point, since it looks like we're on a roller coaster speeding towards, you know, college football being basically a carbon copy of the NFL? Do you think it'll ever get to the point where they just open it up like the NFL?
I don't think so. No, because you got guys like Kirby and Nick and Jimbo and coaches all around the country, Harbaugh, you know, Ryan Day, whatever. They don't want all their practices opened up. They're always scared of something getting out. So I don't see that happening, but I do see, you know, like last year, we didn't get to go to practice last year, you know, but I'm trying to remember the year before, you know, we would get like three periods out there, and it's really the first period's just warming up. Second period's like, you know, throwing on air. And then the third period is throwing routes with the receivers or defensive working on, you know, drills. But I've been told this year they're going to kind of open it up a little bit more. So I would probably think we get like 5 to 6 periods before, you know, they start working 11-on-11 type stuff. So, yeah, I think it'll be open. The player part would be interesting. It's still going to be six-foot radius, you know, from the players. Probably do something like the Titans do when they set up a fence or something like that. A guardrail, and then the players are interviewed. So I'm interested in that part to see how that plays out, and also how many players actually do media availabilities with the local press.
Yeah, how's that working? Are there going to be any deals that you know of where players have exclusive interview rights? And what does the university think about that? Because obviously they want players to speak after games and at the – you know, the university-led media day, Monday press conferences and all that stuff. Well, are there any players that are going to have deals with websites or radio stations where they only talk to those outlets?
Yeah, I think there's going to be those type of deals, but, and there's a button there, it will allow them to talk with reporters, you know, like we do. I think it'd probably be like a Wednesday that we do like player availability, like in years past. But I think you're going to get anything exclusive, anything along those lines. You know, it's going to be with like one company compared to that same player going to talk with another company. You know, I guess what's the best way to put this? Like the interview I did with Bayless Jones Jr. about 3 weeks ago. You know, I just called Tennessee and they gave me Bayless. You know, but other, you know, there have been other sites that have, you know, paid for those. And I think that's how it's going to be. Around college football, I don't know how many players are worth paying for on the Tennessee roster right now, and that's not a shot, that's just reality. But I think there's a couple, and I think you're going to see over the next 2 to 3 weeks, you know, some exclusive deals, kind of like Texas did and kind of like orangebloods.com did when it comes to players. And, you know, okay, you could speak here, but you can't speak to this outlet any other time. You have to come with us, you know, and speak with us during these interviews, that type of deal.
Mm. Trey Wallace with us this afternoon on the show. Trey, I don't know if you heard before you jumped on, Bear and I were talking about the Harrison Bailey Instagram post where he's taking the offensive line out for a steak dinner at a local Longhorn steakhouse earlier this week. And we're doing that thing we do down south where we're reading into an Instagram post of a bunch of 18 to 20-year-olds. It's rather pathetic when you think about it, but here we are. What do you think? Is that an indication that Harrison Bailey has any sort of leg up in the race to become the starter? Or do you think that was just what college football players do before fall camp?
I think that's what college football players do before fall camp. I think Longhorns hooked them up with a nice meal. I don't think that. I mean,
You think that's an NIL thing where, hey, we do that picture for you. Everybody, because we did talk about.
Well, yeah, they tagged Longhorns in there. They tagged the restaurant into the Instagram post. You know, they were all talking, thanks for the great steak at Longhorns.
That's smart.
Hey, all of them did. I'm sure it was a free dinner.
That's okay. Okay, that makes sense. Because we
sure
did.
It's a local franchise, so I'm sure the local owner. You know what I mean? Like I'm not saying that's how it happened, but I could see it. The local owner of the franchise at Longhorns, you know, the quarterback wants to bring some of his players out. He don't want to spend $400 to $500 on it. Okay, let's just post on Instagram. Thanks, Longhorns, for the great meal. And then every offensive lineman that was there does the same thing. That's some good press.
Yeah, it is.
Good publicity.
Yeah, it is. And that's the way it should be, man. That's right. When we talk about this NIL thing and everybody's like, oh, man, this is going to change the face of athletics. No, man, this is going to – players should be able to do something like that. That's good business for Longhorn. I saw that post, and I started to think about a juicy steak. That'd be nice to go out with the family.
Lobster
something.
Dip is incredible,
there
guys.
You go. Yeah.
Mac and cheese. You get some of the bread with the butter. Mm. You get your steak. Oh.
Cinnamon butter, Trey.
Yeah, I know. So, it could have been, or it could have been Harrison just taking his players out. I don't know, but I saw it as kind of like an NIL thing. That's the first thing that came to my mind because they tagged him, you know, so much, their Instagram handle. So, whatever. I mean, I'm sure Joe Milton's gone to dinner with the offensive lineman, you know.
He can't be taking those dudes to Wendy's. No offense.
No, I'm sure Brian Maurer's got them all tattoos if they want them.
Oh, come on.
What did you say the other day, Russ?
No, I'm saying that could be one of his NIL. I'm not even kidding about that.
That Brian Maurer got his offensive line free tattoos?
No, I'm saying that could be something, like an NIL, something that he does.
Does he have a tattoo parlor?
He gets Saint Tattoo or somebody like that.
Right. I don't think so yet, but that one wouldn't be surprising to me. And I think it would be good business on his part.
Russ said he's either working out or getting a tattoo. He always knows. Isn't that what you said the other day, Russ?
I don't remember what I said.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, I think a lot of these guys are doing it pretty smart in how they're handling NIL. And you have to remember, Harrison Bailey, you know, he's managed by a group out of Atlanta. Joe Milton's with a group. And Grant Perkins doing a lot of things for players at Tennessee. So, you know, a lot of the stuff that you see, it wouldn't be surprising if they were NIL-based. So, you know, I don't read too much into a player taking his guys out for dinner right now. Not right now.
What
else? Actually, the third week of fall camp.
Yeah. What else is on your radar as we head into the first week of fall camp?
The quarterback competition is going to be interesting just because how are they going to split those reps up? We've talked about this a lot. You know, four quarterbacks, how do they split those reps in the first week and then compared to the second week? I think, you know, once they get out there on Wednesday for their first practice, you know, it'll be an acclimation period, and we get that. You know, there's a certain day, you have a certain number of days you have to get acclimated out there, then they can get into pads. And then I think, you know, the coaching staff, the offensive coaching staff starts narrowing that down, the quarterback, you know, rotations and the reps that they get. And we start getting a little bit of an eye on who will potentially be the starter for Tennessee. And, know, I want to see what, you know, how the defensive line reacts when they get out there with Rodney Gardner. I think that's something big for Tennessee besides linebacker. Linebacker is a spot they're going to have to get better at. This is a big fall, you know, for Jeremy Banks and Juwan Mitchell, who's come in, Aaron Beasley type player, who else switches over and potentially plays that position. Does Roman Harrison get in the mix on that? You know, because they tried so many guys out. Hell, even Morvin Joseph was trying out at that spot, you know, at the spring. So I'm interested in the linebacker spot, defensive line. Where do they put Cade Mays on the offensive line? You know, where do they try to plug some holes a little bit? I think the offensive line.
If there's any, I'm sorry, Trey.
Yeah. No, go ahead, man.
You think there's any chance we see Cade at left tackle?
I think they're going to try to put, yes. I think they're going to try to put him wherever they feel that he's going to benefit that line of scrimmage as much as possible. So if that means that spot, okay, then yeah. I don't – Tennessee has enough players, I think, along that line that can make it, you know, pretty darn decent in the SEC. And if they do have to put Cade at that spot, okay, that's fine. But, you know, I'm sure there are other positions on that line that they would rather put him, you know, besides that spot. But, you know, how do players like Jerome Carvin, Spraggins, Cooper Mays, how does he do in the center? You know, does Dane Davis come on? Kayron Calvert. There's so many guys that they can put in and plug into these spots that, you know, offensive line shouldn't be too much of a worry for Tennessee this year. They just got to figure out the right five.
What about defense? Are we going to stink on that side of the ball, Trey? I mean, we know what the UCF numbers were under Heupel. They were not pretty. And we've got a defensive coordinator who's never really called his own shots before. And a defense that lost all its best guys off last year's team. What is a reasonable expectation? What does success look like on the defensive side of the ball in year one for Heupel?
Sixth or seventh in the conference against the run. You know, I think the secondary is good enough to be top six in the conference when it comes to passing yards allowed. This defense is, yeah, they lost some guys on the defensive line. They did add some guys. I think Terry, you know, defensive line is going to be big for Tennessee. If he can get in there and fill that gap. I'm interested to see, you know, how guys like Elijah Simmons come out and play, you know, this year. You know, I think we know what to expect from players like Matthew Butler and Latrell Bumpus. But, you know, how does Byron Young play? How does Tyler Barron come off the edge? These are all big spots that I think Tennessee wants to get figured out pretty quickly in the defensive scheme of this and how they're going to play these guys because they, you know, when you get a week and a half in, 2 weeks, man, you want to start setting up that depth chart and trying to figure out how that's going to play out and who you're going to put. Because on the defensive line, it's going to be a rotation of guys. It is because the way the offense runs. I mean, your guys, you know, might be running on a quarter tank of gas by the third quarter just because how much they have to be on the field. So it's all about building up the depth. And the one area that does concern me is the linebacker spot when it comes to depth, because I think they're going to be fine in the secondary with the addition of Haddon and Turnage back there to go along with, you know, guys like Burrell and Alante Taylor. And, you know, you could plug Trayvon back there, Danico Slaughter, you know. So I think the secondary is going to be okay. To me, the biggest thing that stands out is linebacker. So how much can they build up that depth, I think, is, you know, that's going to decide how far they go when it comes to a defensive standpoint, because I do think they'll get some pressure up front.
You mentioned Tyler Barron. Speaking of the local product of Catholic High School, any thoughts on the big scrimmage tonight over off Cedar Bluff
at the Butch Bowl
as the Red Rebels of Maryville take on Catholic tonight?
Dorman Blaine Stadium, folks.
Butch Bowl,
the Butch Bowl.
Is Bear going to the Butch Bowl tonight?
No.
Not going to the Butch Bowl tonight?
Bear ain't getting out of the recliner tonight.
I am interested to see what Catholic does at quarterback and how that spot looks.
I got a freshman.
That's what I mean. Yeah, a freshman. So I'm curious on that part. And then
well, I hope that kid's wearing a red no contact jersey tonight.
You got that right.
Absolutely destroyed.
You would hope so. I think Gatlin.
Oh wow! Why would you hope so? I don't want this poor 14-year-old to get crushed by those heathens from Blount County. My God, Trey.
No, I mean I would hope he's wearing a non-contact jersey.
Oh, okay. Okay. I thought you were hoping he was going to get
rocked. I don't want a kid to get hurt. No. So no, it'll be fun. I can't believe high school football's here. I mean, we're 2 weeks away from start of the season, is that right?
It's time. Walter Nolan in Knoxville.
Making his debut at Pal.
Woo!
He's got to practice first.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll get him ready.
Well, he's cleared, right? I mean, he's ready to go.
He's practicing.
What's the deal? What are you got something, Trey? Tell us. Spill it. Don't make us torture it out of you.
No.
Come on, Trey.
I just meant earlier in the week he wasn't technically practicing, on the field. So you just got to get him ready to go.
Was he not practicing just because he didn't know if he's going to be eligible, right?
It could be that. I'm not going to act like I'm an expert. I just know that when he went out there Monday, his first day out there, he wasn't practicing.
Well, they probably just don't want him to hurt anyone.
Right. He's just
got to get acclimated. Was he just in T-shirt and shorts?
Yeah.
You're technically Trey Wallace is something else.
I have to ponder. That's brutal, man. Playing out there right now, this week, high school football. I mean, I'm sure they're doing it in the morning and late afternoons, but still, it has been a thick, oppressive
heat. They're doing those two-a-days.
Heat.
Well, they don't do two-a-days anymore. I think they outlawed those.
Do they not do them in high school? I know they're pretty much done in college.
I think they do them in high school.
Maybe they do.
Usually you go
out early in the morning, and then after lunch, it's all inside. It's like playbook stuff. Usually what I was around it.
Speaking of two-a-days, can y'all believe that Netflix is coming out with that Russ Probst documentary show?
What?
I can't wait.
Yeah,
did you not hear about this, Russ?
August 27th, dude. They documented all of last season. The show's called Title Town, and it's from the creative directors of Two-a-Days.
Is it Valdosta?
Yeah.
Well, you think it'll cover its complete meltdown there at the end?
It better. If not, I don't care to watch it. It better.
What are we getting a season of what's the JUCO show that we all love so much?
No, it's over. Last Chance U is done.
Last Chance, no Last Chance U.
No, it's over. Because they switched to basketball and that was going to be it.
Well, it probably.
I wonder where Bobby the undersized linebacker is right now. Remember him?
I think he went to jail. I thought I heard he.
Is it at Rayford in Florida or something?
Well, they probably couldn't do two-a-days, or I'm sorry, Last Chance U last year because of COVID.
Hey, guys, I got some breaking. Well, not breaking, but Tennessee just released a statement on Oklahoma and Texas coming into the conference.
Okay.
You'd like to hear it.
Do we need breaking news music?
No, it's not breaking news. I mean, I asked for this statement early this morning, but all of a sudden they released it to everybody, but whatever. Donnie Plowman says, I'm pleased to welcome the universities of Oklahoma and Texas to the Southeastern Conference. The SEC is special with fierce competition at the highest levels of college athletics and a team spirit when it comes to collaborating in our support of student and student athletes, including universities of this caliber on our SEC team will push us all to be better.
Yeah, whatever, Donnie. Tell us something about the investigation. Can y'all wrap that up?
Yeah, I mean, Danny White said, from a proud charter member of the Southeastern Conference in the city in which the league was founded, the University of Tennessee welcomes Oklahoma and Texas to the most powerful and competitive conference in intercollegiate athletics.
You like this Danny White guy, Barry. He's been right here for like 2 months. He's coming on here like he's the mayor or something.
I get more of a Vincent Grand kind of vibe off of him.
We're going to stop. You and I were talking earlier today. We need to be nicer to Danny White.
Yeah, we're going to turn over a new leaf, Trey.
Oh, congratulations, guys.
Well, you know us. We're always ready to turn on somebody.
Yeah.
That's not true.
A little bit true.
That's not true. Never turn on anybody who doesn't deserve being turned on.
Yeah, but like we know at a certain point, like if we do have to turn on them, we can judge how bad it's going to be, like with Pruitt.
Yeah.
This is interesting. So
we'll hold off on old DW. Hope he does well. We're all firmly behind him. We'll give him a little push whenever he needs one.
That's a strong statement, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, Trey. Anything else before we let you out of here? What's coming up this weekend? Any big things coming down the pike?
Yeah, pay attention to Rocky Top Insider tonight.
Ooh.
No. Little Friday night, little freaky little nug? Friday.
You got a nug,
Trey?
Not gonna throw out the nug. Just pay attention for, you know. I don't know. Maybe around 6 o'clock.
Watch this space. That's what people say now. Watch this space. That's the new. We got to unpack something.
Scoops.
Watch this space.
I'm gonna do it right when y'all get off the air too. We got to come back and talk about it Monday. Nah.
I will have you back.
All right.
So Trey's put his reporter hat on.
Yes,
I'm looking for a scoop tonight, Trey.
You got it, buddy. I'll give it to you.
All right.
Good luck to your Catholic boys.
Go to hell, Trey.
Came off wrong. All right.
Where's that scrimmage at tonight, Trey? I forgot.
Hell, I don't know. How am I supposed to know?
Is it at Miraville?
It's at Dorman Blaine Stadium over in Cedar Bluff, I think.
Oh, it's at the Butch Bowl.
Thank you. All right, Trey. Have a great weekend. Get
the hell out
Thanks,
of here.
Thanks, buddy. Bye-bye.
Stay with us. The drive continues. Open up the phone lines here, 865-546-8200, 546-8200. The drive continues after this.
The drive.
So you're watching. Back here on the drive, Fan Run Radio. 865-546-8200. If you want to chime in this afternoon, Lucas Panzeca is going to stop by in hour number two. A couple of friends of Fan Run jumping on. It'll be a fun show today, talking to Trey, talking to Widespread Panzeca. And then in hour number three, I'd be interested to talk to Sam Kahn Jr. of The Athletic. He's somebody that we've had on the show before. But it's been a while. I think he was one of Trey's guys who covered A&M. It's been a while.
Yeah, I mean it's been.
It's been.
It's been a while. Be interested to see what he's got to say.
He's down there in Texas. He's covered A&M as a beat reporter. Now he covers pretty much the whole state. I mean that's a big gig, just covering Texas football for The Athletic. And I'd just be interested. What has the reaction been like down there amongst both of those fan bases? Because I know Texas A&M at first, they don't want Texas to jump in here. It had been really good for them, man. They'd finally separated themselves. They always had this little brother image, and I think that's largely gone away the past 10 years or so. And so they don't want to invite Texas to this particular party. But I also think that for both Longhorns and Aggies fans, there's got to be a yearning for that rivalry to return, right? And, like, no matter how the division or pods thing shake out, whatever happens with the scheduling, I think we're all kind of hoping that Texas and Texas A&M are playing every year, right? That's a great rivalry.
I mean, it had a name, didn't it?
Did it? The Lone Star rivalry or something? I mean, it should.
It should have had a trophy for it. You know, like the Paul Bunyan or...
Well, it was always played...
Beer Barrel.
They used to play it over Thanksgiving a lot.
Yeah. And by God, I would love to see... And they ought to just do it. It would be a lot easier to take the Super Conference stuff for us if they would bring back, like... They need to bring back a lot of rivalries. I want to see Nebraska play Oklahoma on Thanksgiving weekend, dude.
Texas and Arkansas was another one that needs to be rekindled.
Yeah. Just raw ass cold. I want to see Nebraska face off with Oklahoma again.
Did you see Withrow's suggestion on how he would like to see shake out? Well, let me go. He had a neat graphic and everything to go with it. Let me scroll through
Withrow,
his Twitter feed.
Low-key sharp. Sharp
what do you
guy.
Mean low-key? You surprised? Surprised that he's smart?
No. Withrow's my guy.
All right, here is his thing. Excuse me.
Sound like me now.
That's disgusting, man. So he is talking about going ahead and adding Florida State, West Virginia, Oklahoma State, and Clemson to the league and going 20. And then dividing it up into four divisions, East, West, South, and North.
Be like a mini NFL.
Yeah. So the East division in his proposal would be Florida, LSU, South Carolina, Georgia, Clemson. The West division would be Oklahoma, A&M, Oklahoma State, Arkansas, Texas.
The old Southwest.
The South division would be Florida State, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Alabama, and Auburn. And then the North division would be Tennessee, Vandy, Kentucky, Missouri, West Virginia.
Let's run it.
We should be so lucky, right?
Right. Pod champs.
Now, I have to go back and listen to their podcast because I don't know if he's saying that we play all four of those teams and then teams from other divisions. I mean, that could still work out to be a pretty darn challenging schedule. But that would be – this is fantasy. I don't think there's much chance at all of this happening. I think they're probably going to pump the brakes on all this expansion for a little bit. But, man, I mean, if we're stuck with Vanderbilt, Kentucky, Missouri, and West Virginia, you can't get any easier.
Yeah, there's
no
way they'll do that. We'll be in a division with Auburn and Alabama. They're gonna split Vanderbilt, Kentucky, Missouri up. I guarantee you they will. You aren't gonna have those three teams in division.
Yeah,
I honest to God think Tennessee could get back, just be Tennessee or West Virginia every year.
Yeah, I mean it's. It's fun to talk about it. It's fun to ponder.
I'm telling you right now, if West Virginia joins this conference, I've always kind of kept a wary eye on them. They're a heartbreaker kind of team.
Florida State, did you see the comments from their president last night?
Oh, yeah. He doesn't want to – it's a game of musical chairs right now.
I'll tell you what he said. Very, very interesting stuff coming out of Tallahassee this week. Stay with us. We got to get to a quick timeout. Hour number two of The Drive. Jake's got your top four at four coming up right here on Fan Run Radio.